This is Indiana Public Radio News. Good morning, I'm Stan Sollers at 44 past the hour. Ball State University is finishing its second week of classes for the new spring semester. Returning again this week for a Ball State pandemic update is University President Jeff Mearns. President Mearns, welcome back.
Thank you, Stan. Good morning.
Good morning. First off, what are the latest COVID-19 numbers for Ball State?
As of last evening on our dashboard, there were 36 students who we presumed active here as we close out the second week of on-campus instruction. And as of last evening, there were no employees who were presumed active. So on the employee numbers, that's an improvement from a week ago. As of last Thursday evening, we had two employees who were presumed active. But there's been an increase in the number of students. Last Thursday evening, there were only 15 students who were presumed active. But of course, this is what you would anticipate. So, you know, certainly we're off to a much better start the first 2 weeks of the spring semester than the fall, and grateful for the cooperation of our students. Got to remain vigilant, can't be complacent. And also with respect to our employees, very pleased that the protocols continue to mitigate the risk of infection for our faculty and staff on campus.
Well, earlier this week, you sent an email to the entire campus community expressing gratitude for all of the Ball State personnel in various departments who helped our students safely return to campus, including the processing of several thousand COVID tests and test-related information. For those in the audience who did not receive that email, would you tell us about each level of help the students received? It's quite a list.
Sure. So this involved our pre-arrival testing protocol, and that is for every student who was returning to campus for instruction or a residence hall, they were required to submit a negative test administered within 7 days of returning to campus. And putting the protocol together and administering that protocol was a complex effort, a team effort. So as you suggest, so, you know, the contact tracers and the staff in residence life, they had to review the thousands of tests. It was 12,000 or 13,000 test submissions. They had to do that review in just a matter of a few days. Our colleagues in information technology, they had to build the system to record and process those results. You know, our team in marketing and communications, they were responsible at the outset for keeping students and their families and everyone here on campus informed. It was a dynamic process. Even folks at the help desk, they were getting calls on a regular basis by students and their parents with questions. Then our colleagues in business and auxiliary services, they had to administer 13 different on-campus pre-arrival testing clinics over the winter break. They did that in collaboration and partnership with Open Door Health Services and Passport Health and the Delaware County Health Department. And then the folks in the Dean of Students Office and Student Affairs had to respond to the phone calls and emails with other questions for students who didn't find their answers on the website. So, and then the task force, we had the ongoing task force that helped us design the protocol. So it was a team effort, but I want to just give a special recognition to one important member of that team, Roanne Royer Engel. She serves as our Vice President of Student Affairs, and she really led this coordinated and complex effort. So I'm deeply grateful to Roanne, and we should all be deeply grateful to Roanne for the work that she did to bring this team together.
Indeed so. What news, if any, do you have on Ball State helping with vaccines and on vaccines for Ball State students, faculty, and staff, and then a role in the greater Eastern Indiana community?
I don't yet have more specific information. Roanne and her team are working closely with the Delaware County Public Health Department. We anticipate becoming a site, perhaps as early as February, but maybe more likely in March, where we will have a large site on campus that will be available not only to members of the campus community, but the broader community as well. So when I have some of those more specifics, it's really dependent upon the volume of vaccine that will be available here in Delaware County. Once they're sure we'll have the volume necessary, then we can crank up the logistics.
Let's shift gears a bit now to construction. We see a tract of bare land where most of La Follette Hall once stood across North McKinley Avenue from Worthen Arena. We see the Foundational Sciences Building nearing completion behind the College of Health building. We have the new Multicultural Center also nearing completion in the center of campus, and the Schumann Family Practice Facility, that mammoth building just yards away from Schumann Stadium. What can you tell us about construction progress with those projects and others?
We've got a lot of construction projects underway and in the works, and they're progressing very well. Our new Multicultural Center, construction will be completed in April, and folks will move in May. You referenced the Schumann Family Indoor Practice Facility. I also anticipate that will be concluded in April or perhaps May at the latest. We have another new residence hall in the north side of campus that will be completed this summer, so students can move in there in August. Also, this summer, we'll complete the Foundational Sciences Building that you refer to. It will be ready for classes in August. At that time, we're going to connect the southern portion of the East Mall from the center of campus down to the village. And then next Friday, we have a virtual meeting of our Board of Trustees. They will review the design for the next two major projects, the Brown Family Outdoor Amphitheater, as well as the substantial renovation and restoration project of the Cooper Science Building. Assuming those are approved by the State Budget Committee, the construction of both of those will begin perhaps later this summer or in the early fall. And you mentioned there's La Follette. There's one wing of La Follette left. That was scheduled to be demolished last summer, but of course, because of the pandemic, we decided to keep that one wing open for use for quarantine and isolation space. So assuming we're out of that business next August, then sometime next fall, we'll complete the demolition of La Follette and turn that into where La Follette was. Beautiful green space for now.
Very good. Well, President Jeff Mearns, thanks again for being with us this week.
It's always good to be with you and your listeners, Stan. Be well.
Thank you very much. Be well as well. For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.